Log Talk Radio.
Welcome to Rich and Rossi Live, and today I am so elated to have Dawn Wells, Marianne. We all fell in love with her on Gilligan's Island. That show started in 64, has never been off TV. And when I was watching that, I rushed home from school. I thought Marianne was the bomb, but I could tell as a boy the writers were trying to say that, you know, Ginger was the glamour sex symbol, and Tina Louise certainly was that. But Marianne, I'm thinking I'll keep it a secret, but I think Marianne is the one I would choose. And then my brother, Joe, told me the same thing. He had a crush on Marianne. And this whole thing became a big pop cultural question, Ginger or Marianne. Well, Dawn Wells, The Real Marianne, has a book Amazon says today is the publication date. So we're here to celebrate live with the quintessential, beautiful girl next door, Dawn Wells. Will be back with us in about 20 seconds live on Richard Rossi Live. Welcome back to Richard Rossi Live, and welcome to Dawn Wells. Congratulations on this wonderful new book, Dawn.
Oh, thank you. I'm so excited and so proud of it. I guess, you know, I'm not an author, so to speak, so it's kind of my first experience, and it's being so well received because it really is my heart. You know, I had a hard time finding a co-writer. I don't type real well, so I went through 3 or 4 before somebody had my voice. This is really who I am, so I'm real thrilled.
Well, it really comes across in everything you do, from your charity work to, of course, Marianne, that you really are a good woman and a good person. And I think that's why when they do the poll among us guys, who do we want, the Ginger or the Marianne, that Marianne, in fact, you know, Marianne was in the TV Guide 50 sexiest characters. Did it surprise you that Marianne started winning this whole thing, that people wanted the good girl? I mean, because in the beginning you and the professor and the theme song weren't even mentioned. You were the rest, and all of a sudden you're
That's right.
how did you feel when Marianne started really becoming so, you know, so popular in this whole question?
Well, I don't know that it really sunk in. You know, I was kind of new in the business, and Ginger was a movie star. Mm-hmm. And she was so beautiful and so glamorous, and I took a lot of pains in watching what she did. She only wanted her left side shown on the air, and I mean, not only, but it was her best side, and in between every take, she'd check the mirror, and I was just the opposite. I was a stage actress and didn't pay much attention, but she taught me stuff, and then I went to the dailies every day. It's so different now. I would go in and watch the rushes every day the next day. I was allowed to because I wasn't going to change anything. A lot of directors will say, oh, you're going to change your performance. But I studied. I studied what I did best, what I thought I didn't believe. You know, I didn't believe that scene, Dawn. You weren't really there. That kind of stuff. It's a constant work in progress, I think. And I think that I never really got into who was the most popular, except Russell and I used to laugh because, and the rest. But as time has gone on, and I've met the 14-year-olds or the 15-year-olds who are now 45 and 50, I can see that I had a big influence. And I can see that she would be your best friend. She'd be your best friend if you were a girl. She wouldn't try to take your boyfriend away. All that element was written, so to speak, but I think the character of me as a person, you bring to it. You can't work 14 hours a day and not have part of yourself come through. I could play a floozy, and I could play a bitch, pardon the expression, and I can do that. But when the character of Marianne was very much me. My mother raised me with Marianne values, and we didn't know that's what she was doing, but my mother knew where I was every single second of my life.
That's wonderful, Dawn. And you grew up in Reno, right?
Yes, there you go again, the all-American girl from the gambling and prostitution state. And I guess a little harder to monitor that, I suppose. I don't know. Reno High School was one of the top high schools in the country then, and Reno's a very good little hometown. I run a family foundation there. As a matter of fact, I'm going next month. Some of my dearest friends are still my friends from grammar school.
Oh, that's great to keep friends from way back then. This book, by the way, if you're listening, it's just come out, and it's really great, both everything in it and the illustrations. What Would Marianne Do? A Good Girl's Guide to Life. Now, I have a daughter, and she's I just took her to school. She's starting at Azusa Pacific out here. What would you say to a young girl about Marianne values and about kind of encouraging her to be a good girl and stay on the right path? What are some of the values or advice you'd give a young girl?
Well, it's kind of interesting because I was doing an autograph show for the barbecue people in Kentucky, and a little girl came and sat down next to me, and she was probably 13, maybe 12 or 13, took my breath away. She was so beautiful. I mean, one of those, she can't help it. She's just, there's not a flaw. Absolutely gorgeous. And I sat down next to her for a while, and I took a hold of her hands and said, I'm going to say something to you. She said, what? I said, I want you to just say no. And she said, what do you mean? And I said, well, there's going to be so many things asked of you because you're beautiful, because you're on your own, because of influence of your peers. There's going to be so many things asked of you. Start out with a no until you really know what's really being asked of you. And I think because my mother watched what I was doing every second, I was not in fear that she was going to beat me or anything like that, but I was in fear of kind of doing something wrong. And I think today it's so hard for a parent because of all the influence coming from outside forces that your children start to look at and think all these things are okay. And I think if you've got good parents, now even if you don't, but if you've got good parents, you know what's right and wrong. If you don't, you see what's going wrong. You see this stuff with somebody putting a picture of themselves and all of a sudden it goes viral. Much harder to raise a child today. Much harder because there's multi-families. There's stepchildren and multiracial families and third marriages. But I came from a family. My father was married four times. First time his high school sweetheart. Second time my mother. Third time a woman that was just absolutely exquisite loved me till he married her, and then she didn't want me in the house. So that ended that. Then my father married my stepmother for 22 years, and my mother and stepmother co-raised me. Betty'd say, Dawn's getting a cold, Evelyn. My mother's name was Evelyn. We better do something about it. So there was a family atmosphere. It can be done. It has a lot to do with the parents. But at some point, this young girl's got to start thinking for herself. Mm. And it's really hard if she's had good parents. If you haven't, what do you do? I mean, I believe, and of course, probably every teenager listening in the world, I believe a parent should go through your drawers. You're living in her house. You know what your child's doing. Go through his drawers or her drawers. If you are so far away from the morality or the ethics or whatever your parents have taught you, you're not going to have it in your drawer anyway. But it's a very hard, it's a fine line, and I don't know. I don't have children. I've raised a couple of kind of stepchildren, and my brother and sister died. My father died when they were 12 and 13. They were adopted, so I helped raise them. But it's a very different world today. And I think Marianne has a lot to say. She'd be your best friend. She'd be your pal. She'd help with the chores. She wouldn't bully Gilligan. My God, Gilligan did everything wrong. We didn't chastise him and kick him out. And Marianne didn't care whether she had a $50 purse. I mean, I think the values are all kind of screwed up, and I think a mother and a daughter reading this book together, or a father and daughter reading this book together. I'm not goody two-shoes in this. Like, one of my chapters that I'm kind of pleased with is about drinking. You can tell your child don't drive drunk. You can't tell your child to not take a drink because she's going to do it, or he is going to do it. And one of the pieces of advice is know what you're drinking. Know that it's a bourbon and coke, not punch that's got 10 things in it. Don't take a pill or some drugs. You don't know what's there. So I think, I don't know. I mean, you ask me advice, I don't know, except being honest with your kids. And a lot of times they don't want to talk to you. You know, I mean, I probably wouldn't have told my mother lots of secrets, but she knew the secrets anyway.
Well, you sure turned out great. And I imagine they were really proud of you when you started on this path. And you won Miss Nevada. You competed for Miss America, right?
Right, and I used to laugh. Of course, nowadays it's different because there's gambling everywhere in the country. But I said, you're not going to pick Miss Nevada as the all-American girl with gambling and prostitution in the state. That's not it. But now there's gambling every place, so it's a little different society. But I did that because I was a theater major, and I wanted to see if I could do a scene in front of a bunch of people. Never thought I'd win. I was too short, too little, blah, blah. And I did. I did win. So it was a good experience for me to compete with all those beautiful girls from all over the country. You know, it was anything you try and succeed at just builds your confidence. And I wasn't athletic because my knees dislocated, so I couldn't be a good little baseball player or tennis player or anything. So I think parenting is so important. And again, if you don't have parents around you, Gilligan's Island, I've had people say to me, I was so mistreated as a child. I was abused. And the only way I escaped was that 30 minutes in front of television. And when you really think about that as an actress, that you've had that influence in someone's life, it's overwhelming.
Mm. Yeah, you were our friends. You know, to rush home. We rushed home from school, and not just me, but you know, my friends from the schoolyard. We rushed home to be home at 4 p.m. in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, to see you. And I love how you all got along, even though you know the seven different types of characters. And the world sure needs to learn how to get along, because we're so. Doesn't seem like we're more polarized, where people are demonizing the person with the other political view or the other religious view, and
yes.
And yet you guys
yes.
showed us this you know microcosm of different people getting along.
Because we had to, and I think the world has to. Instead of it's all me, the world has to. It really is. It's frightening what's happening all over, and I don't know that there's any solution, but it really is difficult. I mean, do you ever get to the person's soul or what's inside or what are they? I mean, you believe in different religious things, so what? That doesn't mean that you aren't all good, could all not be good people.
Mm-hmm. And I
you
think
know,
the show
I,
has that universal appeal, doesn't it? It's kind of frozen in time, and it's slapstick. It's Laurel and Hardy, to me, Gilligan and Skipper remind me of Laurel and Hardy. It's very universal, you know, compared to a lot of the other classic shows, huh?
Yes, you don't have to know who was president. You don't have to know anything political. It's sort of the basic seven deadly sins all out there. This is what it's going to take to be a microcosm of an island or of Detroit. You know, I mean, it's simplified, and people made such fun of it. Stupidest show they ever saw. That's not going to last 15 minutes. We went right to the top 10 the first 6 weeks, and we have never been off the air. I have been in Beijing. Marianne, I've been in the Solomon Islands where there was no white women at all, no electricity, no running water, and the chief of one of these little islands' wife said to me, I know you. And I said, what? And she said, I was on the island of Honiara going to nursing school in 1979 and used to come and watch you in black and white. So there is something very basic about this show that I think appeals to the world, really.
Mm. You are known all over, so it's probably hard for you to even go out in public and you know, even if you wanted to change from being Marianne, I you know, is that something, even if you put on a baseball cap and sunglasses, people probably still feel Marianne there and recognize you, huh?
Oh, they do. They do, and I'm flattered. I mean, I don't look like Marianne anymore, but I'm flattered because there's such a identity that you would feel that you could go up and talk to her. You know, you could feel that you could talk to her just about anything. And you could feel that way about the skipper, too. I mean, I think the skipper would put his arm around you and just talk to you. You know, I mean, I think the casting was brilliant in the show. And I always feel so bad when they do that Marianne and Ginger poll, because Marianne usually wins. And I feel bad for Ginger.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I would hate to have been that other person. They say, no, I prefer this other person to you. But it isn't who we are. It's who we portrayed.
Yeah, because Tina Louise was fantastic in the part, and I think it, you know, psychologists talk about this archetype of the virgin and the whore, the Madonna, and you know, Ginger is the sexy woman that the guys maybe just think sex. Marianne, they think sex, but they think more of a relationship and a person, and so it really, I think, speaks to something very big in terms of men and women, don't you think?
I do, and you know, Steve Harvey has a book out, Act Like a Lady, Think Like a Man, and he said, I wrote this for my daughters, and he did a cute little thing on the air, because he has no hair, and he did a cute little thing on the air, and he said, now ladies, I'm not saying lock yourself up, look at the pretty birds, he said, show a leg, flip that hair of yours, and of course he didn't have anything, but he said, say no, don't pick up the tab, you know, here you have a value of who you are. And the only value you have is being a mate with someone, whether it's marriage or living together or whatever. I don't particularly believe in living together, but everybody's doing that. But I mean, I think that you as a woman has to have more of what's inside of you to resist. Men will come at you, or boys will come at you, or people come at you because you've got money. I think a woman there has to be a little more strength inside of a woman than in a guy. Now, what do I know? Because you're going to get thousands of letters about this. But I do. I mean, I think you need to know who you are. And that puberty time is not an easy time. You're too fat. You have acne. You don't have the figure the little girl next to you has. The boys like the blondes better than the redheads. Blah, 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 blah. And you have to develop who you are inside and what you're best at and what you're good at and what you like, what makes you happy. All of those things, you don't sell yourself short.
Mm.
It's a very complex world, and it's easy to talk about, and I'm not even a psychologist. So,
lay it out so well in your book. And by the way, those of you listening, you can get this book a few places at Dawn's website, dawnwells.com, and Barnes & Noble, Amazon. Dawn is going to be signing this at Barnes & Noble in New York Wednesday the 17th, and going to be on the Today Show, I think that same day, right, Dawn?
Yeah, that's early morning, right?
Yeah, so you got a full schedule in New York coming up, don't you?
Oh, and I love it. It's so busy. You know, I never know what street I'm on. I look straight up, and it's just all tall buildings. No. I did a play in New York a couple of years ago, and it was my fantasy. And after I did it, I went, yeah, I'm really glad I don't live here. It's a lot harder than just popping in the car and going to the grocery store from California. But no,
yeah.
I'm going to be signing books in quite a few places all over. And my website is good because I personalize it right away. You know, just let me know you want your name on it or something. It's kind of
wonderful.
An adventure for me. This is going to be wonderful to see how, I mean, I'm glad you've talked to me and you're a guy and you appreciate the book. I'm glad to hear what you have to say.
Yeah, it's, I resonate a lot with the manners part too, because you talk about cell phones and how we're rude, you know, today. Where I went and heard my son's band in Santa Monica recently, Dawn, and I went to the bar. My wife said, could you get me a Coke? And 20 people shoulder to shoulder at the bar were all looking down at their phones. The bartender had his back to me. It took me a good while to get his attention because he was texting somebody. I thought, this is such a strange planet. It used to be at the bar was socialization and everybody knows your name,
yes.
You know?
Yes.
And you had a brilliant idea about, I think it was like phone booths where people could have their cell phone conversation without us all having to hear it.
Yes, just go into that booth and shut the door, and you could carry on a conversation that the whole room didn't hear.
Yeah.
Or if they let you answer your phone on the airplane, I'm going to walk.
Oh, that would be absolutely terrible.
Oh, it would be horrible. It would just be horrible.
I've heard them gone in. I've had it happen in church. I've been in the library, even though there's signs all over the library, no cell phones. I've been on the beach trying to just have serenity and look at the ocean. So your point is so poignant right now about just the consideration. It seems like the basic graciousness and manners has changed a lot since the Gilligan Island days, huh?
Well, and I think if you just think, how do you want to be treated? If you just think that I'd really like someone to say thank you when I do something, or I'd really like to say, please pass the potatoes, or I like a man opening the door for me. Men and women are different. And there's nothing wrong with being a gentleman. There's nothing wrong with acting like a lady. You don't act like a lady all the time. You know, I mean, no, you don't. And I do swear, and I'm mad when I do. My mother used to say, don't say that, don't say that. She never said a swear word in her life. And at 97, she smashed her finger and said, O-S-H-I-T. And I said, Mother! Mother, what are you doing? And she said, it did kind of feel good, didn't it?
You were shocked,
but I
huh?
do think... Yeah, I was shocked, but I do think we have to monitor ourselves a little bit. There's too many things that too many people know too much about.
Yeah, it's there's such a kiss and tell age, and another thing, you know, I told people this show is Dawn Marianne, but so much more, because a lot of people don't know you've done so many wonderful things. You've mentored filmmakers and had a filmmakers training boot camp in Idaho, right?
Yeah, I did, because I thought there was one thing. You know how to go and get to be behind, I mean, to be in, to operate the camera. But nobody knows. You drop yourself off in Hollywood. How do you audition? What do you do? What's the protocol? And what are voiceovers? And I had people, casting directors from L.A. come up. And it was in a beautiful, I'm a really good fly fisherman. Grew up in the Nevada and Idaho mountains. So I thought, here's a beautiful spot. You don't have any distractions with going out at night. There you are with the beauty to learn your craft. And it was really a wonderful experience for me as well as for the kids.
And the foundation and the charity work, I remember seeing an interview a while back where you were doing special clothes you created. So you've had creativity in a lot of ways, clothes, painting. You paint also. So,
yes,
so your creativity
I
comes out.
I call myself an artist. Well, I think so. I think if you have a little talent, it branches. My grandmother was a beautiful. She played piano at Piper's Opera House when she was a little girl, and she made clothes, and she could paint. And my mother was a phenomenal cook, which is an art form in itself. I wanted to be a dancer, but my knees dislocated. So there is art in my soul. I don't mean I'm a great painter and all of that, but I look at things from an artist point of view. However, I want to be a pediatric surgeon, and I can't stand philosophy. I want to know what's right or wrong. I want to know the answer that's correct. I don't want to philosophically discuss it for the rest of my life. So I have a science mind behind it. And the hand clothes for people who couldn't dress themselves. I had a friend in a nursing home for 11 years, and you can't get the poor caregivers can't get the clothes on them backwards and all of that. And I thought, well, for crying out loud, you do costume changes. So I did it and put a lot of money into it and finally sold the idea to Penny's, and they ripped me off. So I backed away from it. But it was a great idea anyway. It was a good idea.
And, you know, sadly, the professor just passed, Russell Johnson. And so you and Ginger, the two beautiful women from this island, are two remaining castaways, huh?
That's it. That's all that's left. I spent 3 days with Gilligan's widow, and I know it, one of his children that played Jack and the Beanstalk. Patrick is now, I don't know, 40. He played that little boy.
Oh.
And I've gone Alan Hale's granddaughter, stand up. So it's kind of moving along. But yeah, it's just Ginger and myself, and we don't really ever see each other. So we're kind of opposite coasts.
Yeah, she's probably in New York now, huh?
Yes. She's in New York
City. I used to run across Bob Denver. I started this show in Pittsburgh, and he was in West Virginia, and he would come in the station, and everyone would we'd just turn into little kids so excited because he had a really wonderful time and just enjoying small-town West Virginia, living down there on the East Coast also.
Well, and that's where his widow lives, and he has a very severely autistic son who's 20, I think, now. And she's living in the little lake where they bought the house before Bobby died. And I just spent 3 days with her, which was just wonderful.
Oh.
Well, you know, when you're 14 hours a day, and the professor and I were very close because we were and the rest, of course. And Mrs. Howell and I were very close. Mrs. Ann Allen. Actually, I knew Ginger and Mr. Howell the least, basically.
Wow, yeah, she was quite a character, wasn't she, Mrs. Howell?
Lovey? Oh, yes, and Lovey, I can't say it on the radio, but she would come out with some expressions. You'd say, you said that, Natalie? What? That came out of your mouth? Because she was such a grand dame, you didn't realize what she was saying. Yeah, she was a joy, and she was with Moss Hart and all those people on Broadway years ago. She was quite a dame, so to speak.
Yeah. Well, you listeners that got to get this book.
I say something else? I put my shorts up for sale. My shorts up for auction because I've had so many people say, what are you going to do with them? I said, well, I don't have children. Who wants them? So I just decided since it's the 50th anniversary, 50 years, I wonder if I could even get in them now. Probably not. But they go on sale with Profiles in History on auction, I guess, end of this month. End of September. Are we in September?
End of September. Oh, yeah. My, you're going to have so many people bidding on this. And you were so sexy in those shorts, but what a lot of people don't know is you had to cover the navel with those. Even though they were hot, hot pants, you couldn't show the belly button, huh?
Isn't that funny? And look how far we've come, or how far we've gone down now with Miley Cyrus and all that. What a riot.
Yeah.
I mean, really, when you stop and think about the censorship, twin beds, you know, you had to have twin beds if you were husband and wife. It's funny.
Yeah.
Actually, it's kind of refreshing, actually.
Yeah, it's everything's so explicit now that it takes, I think, less artistry because everything is just so out there.
Yeah, and I admire you having a daughter, and she's doing well. I admire that. I wish I had children. I really wish
I think
had children,
in a way
but I have
you
a
did.
Million of them around the world.
I think you did because you mentored, well, so many of us that grew up with the show, but also the filmmakers and the things you've done to mentor other artists. Reminds me of a passage in Isaiah where it says the woman who had no children is the mother to many children because You trained a lot of these people in the arts through your boot camp. You've given of your heart and your work that you've done. So your children are all over the world, and they recognize you in the obscure places, and even when you go to the jungle somewhere, you know, and people recognize you, you've been a mother to the multitudes in many ways.
Well, and I think I have some pretty good advice because I was raised very well, and I've led a very good life, and I think I can pass on some of my knowledge, and that's why I felt, what am I just going to die and never say anything to anybody? I'm not teaching you how to be an actor. I'm teaching you how to kind of live your life the best way you can.
Mm.
So to speak.
And by the way, you have two books that are the new one, What Would Marianne Do? A Guide to Life, but also your Marianne's Gilligan's Island's cookbook is also great. So you really enjoy cooking, don't you?
Well, I do, and I've got one coming out in the spring that's really good home cooking. Both my grandmothers were fabulous, and it doesn't take you 3 days to make something. And I've got some recipes of my family and actually, if you go on my Facebook, we're asking for recipes from fans.
Oh, great.
I mean, I'll go someplace, and somebody in Michigan will say, well, have you ever tried the blah, blah, blah? And I said, no, how do you do that? So I'm hoping to get some really interesting recipes from around the country.
Well, you listening, you can send your recipes to Dawn at her Facebook, which is facebook.com/TheRealMarianne. And you are so loved on social media. You probably, when you started to go into Facebook, thought, I don't know about this, but now all of a sudden you got these hundreds of thousands of fans. Facebook's been quite an experience for you, I would imagine.
It has, and I do try to answer most of them myself because I like to hear what people have to say. And I think they're probably more honest there than they would be to your face. You know, they really would say something. And most of it is all nice. Of course, they like the character. But most of it is all nice, and I get all ages. I think it's cool. I really think it's cool. If I could now just live with a 12-year-old that would teach me all this stuff in the computer.
Yeah, I tell you, I think they're born with a chip now when they come out of the womb where they know how to use the computer. My son was crawling up to the TV and playing video games before I think he could walk or talk, it seemed. Yeah, it's allowed you to, I mean, your Facebook site has over 145,000 likes. That's unbelievable. That is unbelievable.
Isn't that wonderful? It truly is. And people come out of the woodwork that I met 30 years ago and say, remember me, I was in Arkansas with you, blah, blah, blah. And that's so nice because you'd never find them. You'd never know where they are, you know. It's great. I think it's absolutely great.
Yeah, you've transcended generations. What do you think it is that makes even people that were born, you know, way after the show, even the show continued with reruns, but way after that 64 to 67 period, kids discover it and love it. Still love the show. What do you think it is that transcends the generations?
I think it's simple. I think it's just the quality of everybody's life a little bit, you know, overcoming small adversities and pitching in and helping each other. I think it's sort of, and it's not your relatives. You know, you might not like Cousin Andy or Cousin Ruth or something, but here are these misfits, totally nothing in common, getting along. And I think that appeals to us today. I mean, this bullying and this ostracization of kids because you're not wearing the right clothes and stuff is so destructive. I think you come home and look at that and you say, oh, this is the way I'd like to live.
Oh, it sure is. Well, it's been such a joy. They're giving me the warning. We've got about a minute left, but I'm so grateful to have you on. And those of you listening in Los Angeles, by the way, I know a lot of my Southern California friends are really excited that you're going to be at the Grove Barnes & Noble 3 weeks from today, September 29th. Is that right?
Yes. Do I get to see your face? Are you coming?
I would love to be there. I have a film thing that might change, though. But I know my boom man from my last film is a huge, huge fan. He's coming with some of his friends.
Let them know that they're with you so that I can kind of put this all together, because other than just someone standing in line, I'd love that.
Oh, I sure will. I sure will. In fact, Robert Ambury, who did the boom on the last film, he's the one that told me right away, because he knew how big a fan that I was, and he said, Dawn is doing a book signing at the Grove, where, you know, I said, well, I'm going to try to get her on the show, so... This has really been a wonderful, wonderful chance to get to know more of your heart. And our blessings and prayers for a great trip. to the Big Apple.
Thank you, dear.
And we'll all be tuning in to the Today Show on Wednesday, September 17th, and cheering you on. You're going to do great.
I hope so. One of my favorite shows. I watch it every morning, so I don't know whether I'm standing up, sitting down, what I'm doing, but I'm excited. Well, thank you. You're a wonderful interviewer, and I feel like I'm just having a conversation with a friend, so thank you for that.
Oh, you're most welcome. Well, yeah, you have been such a blessing to us. And those of you listening, by the way, Dawn is going to be signing in many other cities I didn't even mention, in her hometown in Reno in October and New Jersey in October. So go to her Facebook, facebook.com/TheRealMarianne. Well, they're going to be pulling the plug here, Dawn. God bless you.
God bless you, too. Have a good life, and I hope our paths cross again.
I do, too. Bye-bye, Dawn.
Thanks, dear. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much to all of you for tuning in. And this is a book that really has a lot to say about why it's good to be a good person. What Would Marianne Do? Is the title. And the subtitle talks about how good girls finish first. Well, were you like me? Did you come home from school and did you find the same comfort with Dawn and these characters that I did? Maybe I should go out with this for you.
Professor and Marianne, here until